It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Question for the day. How many think that everything will magically get better if we collectively ignore the proverbial smoke on the horizon long enough, which includes the ever-worsening jet aircraft dispersed filth in our skies? The mission of this broadcast is to provide a maximum amount of breaking, dire frontline headlines for a reason, so listeners can have enough puzzle pieces to actually form an accurate picture of the oncoming train. Let's start with this, new from Scientific American. Geoengineering the climate could pose new risk to the planet, UN fears. From the report, the United Nations warned that some efforts to address climate change can carry their own risks to the planet. Really? Who would have thought that highly toxic atmospheric nanoparticles and devastatingly damaging frequency transmissions could do harm? What could possibly go wrong with that? Just another day in the planetary asylum. Next from Politico.com, a parallel report. UN sees geoengineering as a new risk to nature. The report continues, quote, the disruptions presented in this report are not guaranteed to happen, but they could happen, it says. There it is again, always the could, may, might caveat of what already is. Please, please look up. More not-so-fun fact headlines from this week. From PopularMechanics.com, Earth's disastrous 10th tipping point has been identified. From that report, there's potentially a 10th boundary that's gone unrecognized, which concerns worldwide aquatic deoxygenation in lakes, reservoirs, oceans, and other bodies of water. Where have I heard that for the last 15 years? From GeoengineeringWatch.org, and finally, when it can no longer be hidden because it's too catastrophic to hide, we have mainstream sources beginning to acknowledge what Geoengineering Watch has addressed for the last 15 years. With that new Popular Mechanics report in mind, consider this next dire breaking report. This is from news.rpi.edu. That's aka Rensselaer Polytechnic University. And for the record, samples of atmospheric jet aircraft dispersions that were collected by geoengineeringwatch.org scientists in a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration flying lab were processed at RPI in New York. I'll get to the RPI report in a moment, but geoengineeringwatch.org testing revealed climate engineering elements atmospherically, starting with aluminum nanoparticles, all of it on film and on the record. In the groundbreaking geoengineeringwatch.org documentary, The Dimming, now with almost 20 million views, in spite of the attempt of social media platforms to censor this groundbreaking film. If you've not yet viewed The Dimming, please take the time. You won't like what you learn, but it's essential to know and understand information. You can view The Dimming for free from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Back to the breaking Rensselaer Polytechnic University report. Loss of oxygen in lakes and oceans, a major threat to ecosystems, society, and the planet. Rensselaer researchers link aquatic deoxygenation with the broader stability of Earth's systems. Of course, they're linked. Oxygen, they say, is a fundamental requirement of life, obviously, and the loss of oxygen in water, also referred to as aquatic deoxygenation, is a threat to life at all levels. In fact, in research recently published in Nature, Ecology, and Evolution, they describe how ongoing deoxygenation presents a major threat to the stability of the planet as a whole. Again, I and geoengineeringwatch.org have tried to sound the alarm about this for so many years. We are hurtling to what's known as Canfield Ocean, lifeless, stratified, deoxygenated, superheated seas. All life on Earth then dies. The report then says across all aquatic ecosystems, from streams and rivers, lakes, reservoirs, and ponds to estuaries, coasts, and the open ocean, dissolved oxygen, known as DO, concentrations have rapidly and substantially declined in recent decades. The RPA report then states, we are approaching a critical threshold of aquatic deoxygenation that will ultimately affect other planetary boundaries. Here's a correction for the record. Based on unfiltered frontline biosphere data, all known planetary boundaries have been breached at some level. More from the RPI report. Research has identified numerous global-scale processes referred to as planetary boundaries that regulate the overall habitability and stability of the planet. These processes include things such as climate change, aka abrupt climate collapse, the correct scientific term for what's unfolding right now in real time, land use change, biodiversity loss, and much more. It has been argued, the report says, that if critical thresholds in these processes are passed, then major ecological, economic, and social challenges are likely to result. It has been argued that? Really? That's the best conclusion the so-called experts can come up with? That once we've irreparably destroyed the planet's primary life support systems, quote, challenges are likely to result? Just challenges? That's it? That's like saying if you leap from the roof of a 100-story high-rise, the impact when you hit the pavement below could, may, might result in some challenges for you. Newsflash. The human race as a whole has already kamikazed from the 100th floor, is swan-diving to the street, and we're collectively passing the second floor now. But not to worry. The concrete will break our fall from the terminal velocity of total insanity, of total biosphere decimation, right? Not so much. It isn't hard to decipher how that story ends, if we remain on the current course. And yes, that is an accurate metaphor of where we stand at this moment in time, the leap from the 100-story building. And yet, even now, the endless distraction of proverbial bread and circus commands the full attention of the vast majority. Here's a footnote. The homeless know about and care about covert climate engineering operations far more than the average American. And how do I know this? Because every time I make a trip to Redding, California, near my wilderness home, and I distribute essentials to the homeless, roll up sleeping pads, insulated water bottles, cases of granola bars, etc., I also converse with them, and they're acutely aware of the crimes being committed in our skies, while the air-conditioned Cadillacs and Lexuses drive by, clueless. They couldn't care less. Please forgive my rant. Back to Earth's unraveling life support systems. All foundational planetary boundaries have been breached, though the so-called climate science community has only acknowledged 7 of the 10 boundaries as being breached. The so-called experts are either criminally ignorant of the totality of converging catastrophes that are closing in on all of us, or they're lying. You decide, and don't take too long, because time isn't on our side. Stay with me in this broadcast if you're willing to face what the vast majority are turning 2 blind eyes toward. Extremely near-term existential threats from numerous directions. And no, it's not just nature behaving badly. And this translation / clarification on the existential threats part, short of a complete course correction, none of us will be here much longer. Mathematical and statistical certainty on the current course. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the weekly installment of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Report, The End of the World as We Know It, broadcast brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world and the subject of global climate engineering operations, a.k.a. weather warfare. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward in this fight. We can, we must reach a critical mass by starting a conversation on climate engineering that leads people to a credible source of data. Credibility is key. Geoengineeringwatch.org will continue all of our efforts to be the go-to source on covert climate engineering operations. A conversation on the climate engineering issue can easily be started with Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials available on our homepage. Our only goal, to provide activists what they need, again, to move this fight forward as fast as possible. More bad news from AOL.com. Could this year's hyperactive tornado season turn out to be the worst on record? Well, so far, it is. Here's an example from Fox News. New York State sees years' worth of tornadoes during July. And we're just over halfway through July. What comes next? More information on why this is happening. Stay with me. From the New York Times, millions under tornado warnings as storms batter Midwest. And this, record July tornado warnings have already been reported from numerous locations with almost half the month left. Anyone that regularly listens to this broadcast has heard me make the following warning many times. When patented processes of chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding is utilized on all available manipulated atmospheric moisture flows, the cold air mass that is created and then descends to the surface because cold air is more dense, sinks. just like in your market when you have an open freezer, the cold air sits in that basin. This cold air is pushed at high velocities by manipulated atmospheric pressure zones, thus the hurricane force straight line winds we now commonly have with almost every storm. This can and does create a colliding air mass scenario with the warm manipulated air flows from the record warm Gulf of Mexico, the Pacific, or the Atlantic. Again, when these air masses collide, a cyclonic rotation spawning ground is created. Please connect the dots. But don't drink the water. On that note, this new, not so pleasant footnote. This is new from the Washington Post. Quote, everyone is drinking it. Why this type of forever chemical seems to be everywhere. Reports as scientists are beginning to focus on a new type of forever chemical that is far more widespread than earlier realized. Yes, another case of, gee, we just had no idea. From the so-called experts that were trained, taught, and programmed from birth to blindly trust and never question. Don't question what you see in our skies. Don't question what you're drinking from that tap. Just take the advice of the official expert and go back to sleep. Back to the crop-crushing high-pressure heat dome meltdown. From NBC News, California farmers struggle as extreme heat affects crops and livestock. The heat is impacting crop ripening and livestock health, the report states. Here's another from MSN.com. U.S. weather, blazing heat leaves part of America, quote, parched to the point of flash drought. They say weeks of searing sun magnified under a rainless heat dome, a.k.a. ionosphere heater-induced high-pressure heat dome, has turned green pastures into desert dust bowls. Here's a small sample of records set this week and after this headlines that are way worse still. And this is only from one part of the world. Keep that in mind. It's happening all over the world. Records, Palmdale, California, 115 degrees. Reading, my hometown, 119 degrees. The actual report, according to AccuWeather, was 121 degrees, which broke the former record by 10 degrees. Palm Springs, 124. Las Vegas, 120 for many days in a row, 115 or more. Lancaster, California, 115. Ukiah, this is over near the coast. This is so insane. 117. This is like British Columbia when it hit 121 degrees 2 years ago on the coast of British Columbia. Daggett, California, 118 degrees. Spent a lot of time there working for Bechtel Power Corporation on one of the first commercial solar plants of its type in California. Now there's an empty field of blowing sand there. When you can see that empty field of blowing sand, if you watch Planet of the Humans, very well compiled documentary on just how non-renewable so-called renewable energy is. Anyway, Daggett, California, new record. It's so close to home for me as I've spent so much time in that part of the desert. Mendocino County, 117. Lake County, 112. Redway, that's Humboldt County near the coast, 117. The list goes on and on, but you get the idea. The heat is absolutely relentless here. It's been getting hotter and hotter every single summer, but this is by far the worst. The heat never goes away. And under a high-pressure heat dome, you have sinking, compressing air. Again, ionosphere-induced high-pressure heat dome. Now we hear that term all the time. Every dissemination from every climate engineering cover-up organization like the Weather Channel or Weather Nation, all referring to, quote, high-pressure heat dome. And those are the days when the air is generally very stagnant underneath, doesn't cool down much at all at night. Heat just builds and builds and builds. And then we have the incredibly intense UV radiation from the disintegrating ozone layer that's denied. And the public ignores their own senses, how hot their cars are, how many car deaths we have now because people are caught unaware of just how fast that car can heat up with the intense UV radiation. None of it disclosed. We know the UV readings are completely fictitious. They only meter down to 300 nanometers, that's half the UVB spectrum, and nothing else is even looked for, let alone acknowledged. So that is literally a fictitious reading. So when you see a UV reading that's high on the scale, it's still a fraction of how bad it actually is. And it's profound how much the public, again, ignores their own senses, their own burning skin, and how hot surfaces are, and burnt leaves, and in Northern California, our grapes here where I live, and our berries, they're completely fried. The leaves are even frying. The native oak tree leaves are curling up and frying now because the UV is so intense and so relentless, as is the heat in general. And about these high-pressure heat domes, especially the one over the U.S. West Coast, what are they doing with that? How would that serve the climate engineers? And here's how. If you search geoengineering is creating freeze-fry scenarios, I've been recording this for over a decade. When you put a high-pressure heat dome in the northern hemisphere, it creates a clockwise rotation of the atmospheric winds and moisture around that. So what have we created? As they're trying to mask what's happening in the Arctic, the cooler Pacific air is pushed up and around the western high-pressure heat dome, nucleated, chemically nucleated to cloud moisture the whole way. Alaska has been recently below normal temperatures. They're trying desperately to mask what's known as a BOE, a blue ocean event in the Arctic. I'll have more on that later in this broadcast, but that is a major paradigm capsizing event when that happens. And it may happen very, very soon. Should have happened already. It's been masked by countless climate intervention operations that are destroying the planet's life support systems in the attempt to mask this one symptom. Is that really helping us as a whole? I think not. So high pressure heat dome, clockwise rotating winds around it in the west, frying the west under that heat dome, and then dropping down scattered, fragmented moisture in the eastern part of the country where most Americans live, and with chemical nucleation, these flash, weather whiplash, roller coaster temperature ups and downs, which keeps the majority of the U.S. population confused and divided as to the true state of damage to the planet, while the rest of the planet as a whole goes into total meltdown. In the country with the biggest military by far, the country with three times more aerial tankers than the rest of the world's militaries combined, has the ability to cool parts of its population far more than other countries can, and at the cost of, again, worsening the overall warming of the planet. But that's the pharmaceutical industrial mentality, isn't it? Take this for a particular symptom, and by the way, here's the side effects that are so horrific that I watch those commercials on TV and I wonder who in the world would take that. But people do, because they play happy, cheery music and show out of shape people dancing around as if it's some kind of a carnival. It's not. And when you hear the side effects of whatever concoction is being pushed, it's truly astounding that they can peddle such products. Pressing on, more headlines. Forgive the rant, but I'm trying to explain what's happening, that there are climate sacrifice zones and there are other agendas being carried out. This heat is crushing crops in the west. The flooding is crushing crops in the east. And it's a double-edged sword. Again, there's so many layers to this, and too many people try to simplify it. It's not simple. There's so many aspects of what they are trying to do, none of them benevolent. Again, from agriculture.com, East Coast farmers face catastrophic crop loss due to unprecedented drought. From AccuWeather, the Mid-Atlantic is, quote, in a flash drought. That report says hot weather, strong sun, think of the intense UV I just mentioned, and a lack of rain has led to widespread drought. Yeah, typically, that's what leads to drought, isn't it? Needed some experts to tell us that, which will hit the corn crop in the region especially hard this summer. Here's more. From GB News, U.S. weather, 30 million Americans to fry in 115-degree heat bubble. Think high-pressure heat dome. That's in the west. Just describe that. They can do it as long as they want. Keep it stationary as long as they want. Next, from the Weather Channel, Western Heat Wave Tracker, the all-time record highs and record long hot streaks. That's a very key part of the headline and the conditions it addresses. To remember, it isn't just a day or two of heat here and there. It's weeks now, or even months, with less and less cool down at night, which is a very dire harbinger as well. The heat is being trapped in the atmosphere, and climate engineering is helping to trap that heat, amongst other factors. Here again, it's not a this or that equation. It's too many people online, so many people want to try to make it, that it's just climate engineering harming our planet. That's so untrue. I'm focused on climate engineering, and I'll stay focused on climate engineering, but to deny the rest is to lose all credibility. We have been horrible stewards of this planet. We need to admit that. From AccuWeather, Northwest U.S. to experience surges of intense heat into the weekend. From that report, as heat slowly builds over the interior Northwest into this weekend, with records poised to be set, waves of heat will be experienced along the Pacific coast into Saturday. Listen to this. The northward bulge in the jet stream and a high-pressure area will dominate the overall weather pattern, just described that a moment ago, for the western United States through this weekend. Because of mainly dry storms, the potential for lightning-induced wildfires will increase. Yes, dry lightning, firestorm starts. Now, so often the norm. For the record, climate engineering, atmospheric seeding operations, utilize desiccant elements like aluminum nanoparticles, which not only tend to dry up and disperse available moisture from such convective storms, but in the case of the many geoengineering elements like aluminum nanoparticles, they are also an incendiary dust. And it's not hard to conclude what impact that has when it settles out on forest foliage and everything else. For the record, geoengineeringwatch.org recorded time-lapse film footage of blanket grid pattern aerosol spraying operations directly over the Paradise, California firestorm. What was that about? You decide. And you can view this footage in the Dimming documentary, again, for free on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Also from AccuWeather, Oregon governor declares state of emergency over wildfire threat. From the UK Guardian, millions face extreme temperatures as heat dome, there it is again, covers U.S. Midwest and East. That report says the National Weather Service has warned of a major and extreme heat scenario. Heat advisories are in place from Texas to New York as major East Coast cities under air quality alerts. Again, that downward pushing, compressing air, ionosphere heater. I've given this example many times, but for new listeners, this is an extremely powerful ground-based transmitter. In the case of Harp in Alaska, can transmit 3.6 million watts of power to the electrically charged ionosphere, causing an electrical chain reaction that causes space to expand up and down, the atmosphere to expand up and down. The downward push is a high-pressure heat dome. And there are many of these installations around the globe that can work in tandem. This is treating the atmosphere like an experimental physics lab, aka warfare zone, and we will all pay the price if it's allowed to continue. They say that it will likely feel even hotter due to high humidity levels, which will make this heat wave even more dangerous. Wet bulb temperatures. The atmosphere can hold 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. Based on unfiltered data, we're likely past 3.5 C now, which means that these wet bulb, very dangerous temperatures are increasing radically. Again, when there's too much atmospheric RH, relative humidity, your sweat does not evaporate, which means your body's cooling capacity is eliminated. Heating builds from there. And as far as the air quality alerts, again, in many of these states, not just smoke. Again, the atmospheric aerosol dispersions, when we're talking about nanoparticles, they're not even looked for, let alone disclosed. And based on geoengineeringwatch.org testing with a major university, in fact, I will disclose it is the University of Minnesota, an agricultural institution that's recognized internationally. Based on their information given to us and our testing that we have paid for, they have extrapolated that there is likely 40 to 60 million tons of aluminum nanoparticles or geoengineering nanoparticles as a whole being dispersed annually. 40 to 60 million tons. None of it disclosed because no air quality testing even looks for anything less than PM 2.5, generally PM 10. So all nanoparticles go completely under the radar. That's not an accident. But wait, what about this shocking new headline from AccuWeather? This is from this week. Listen to this. Snow was reported amid 90-degree temperatures at Philadelphia Airport. The report says, as record highs sizzle across the United States, snow in July seems impossible. Yet, the AccuWeather report states, as temperatures hit a high of 94 degrees on Sunday, a record daily snowfall was reported at the Philadelphia International Airport. What? What's wrong with people? How can they not understand this is not nature? Think of the first aid kit that sits on your shelf for 20 years with a cold pack in it, and you mix those chemicals together, you have ice instantly. Think of that on an unimaginable scale, with tankers that can hold and dump into cloud moisture 100 tons of material in a single payload. Atmospheric experimentation of which we will all pay the price if it's allowed to continue. You can't make this kind of insanity up. And it certainly isn't nature. 90 degrees in snow. Please, please search and review the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn about this core aspect of climate engineering, chemical ice nucleation, cloud seeding. If you wondered why almost every storm now has extreme hail falling out of it, often the size of softballs, investigate. Again, you won't like what you learn, but The engineering winter section is imperative to review, again on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. From PBS, how extreme heat is damaging American transportation infrastructure. It's frying many things that no longer work when it gets too hot. Airport runways, asphalt warping and being damaged from trucks driving over it. We have railways that are expanding. The trestles actually warp and break off the tracks. People have no idea. So many people think there's some magic thermostat being monitored by somebody up in the clouds. It's not the case. We had a perfect planet with an unbelievably incredible energy balance that we have completely and totally obliterated. In fact, the heating on the planet right now, I've been over this in many broadcasts as well, and now it's starting to come out. I'll get to those headlines in a moment. But the mathematical, statistical equivalent of the heating, it's the same as the thermal energy contained in 7 Hiroshima-sized nuclear bombs per second. 7 per second. That's how fast the planet is heating right now. It doesn't matter if people don't believe it. Look around. It's happening in real time. This is not about Al Gore or all the environmental groups, all of which I have great disdain for, in their denial of the climate engineering elephant in the equation. It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal. But you can't take the opposite position of someone who you don't like when, in fact, things are far worse. Our scenario is far worse than anything Mr. Gore has ever stated. He's a tool of the power structure. He owns stock in the very companies he claims to be fighting. How hypocritical is that? And the environmental organizations are exactly the same. What this is about is reality and investigating that reality, not going on hearsay, what you heard somewhere. Investigate. More headlines. This one from futurism.com. It's getting so hot that medical choppers can't fly to rescue people dying from heat. A big metaphor in that one. So many layers that will begin to manifest. From NPR, we're screaming into the void. Across the U.S., heat keeps breaking records. Another headline from theconversation.com. America faces a power disconnection crisis amid dangerous heat. The headline continues. In 27 states, utilities can shut off electricity for non-payment, even in a heat wave. The report says in some cases, the loss of service lasted for just a few hours, but in other cases, people went without electricity for days or weeks while scrambling to find enough money to restore service, often only to face disconnection again. Just the beginning. And next we have grid shutdown completely. It's coming. It's a matter of time. From MSN.com. The Persian Gulf is enduring life-threatening heat indexes above 140 degrees. Do we see that on U.S. Matrix Media that gives us nothing but scripted political theater 24/7? That's all they show us now. And how many Americans are caught up in that idiocy? Does anyone really rationally believe that this core of cancerous power is going to allow an election to determine anything that they've been building for decades or centuries? How long did it last for John F. Kennedy when he drew a line in the sand against this core of power? He lasted about a week. And how much more powerful is this cancer now? And people actually believe that an election is going to change anything? This report from MSN states the heat and humidity in the Persian Gulf region have soared to nearly intolerable levels this week, and there's little relief in sight. Some locations have seen the heat index rise to 150 degrees. Think about that. We are reaching levels which are intolerable to human life, and everything else is dying already. We have unbelievable extinction rates right now. It's 15,000 times the background rate. We're losing 200 to 300 species of plant, animal, and insect a day to extinction. That's 1.5% of normal. What's normal about that? Nothing. And how long do we think we're going to last when the insects can't survive? 80 to 90% gone right now. Also from MSN, Dubai heat wave temperature feels like 62°C. That's about 144 degrees Fahrenheit. They say Dubai is experiencing an intense heat wave. According to the U.S.-based weather reports, so-called wet bulb temperatures mentioned that a moment ago, which start over 35 degrees C, and again, they're far higher, are lethal for humans if exposed to them for more than 6 hours. The wet bulb temperature is a measure that accounts for both heat and humidity. Went over that before. When humidity approaches 100%, sweat no longer evaporates, preventing the body from cooling down, with deadly results if exposed to these conditions for too long. Meteorologists warn the temperatures in Dubai are approaching the wet bulb limit. When going outside becomes life-threatening. Let's all go vacation in Dubai or Florida, perhaps, where it's not far behind. In Florida, with their 102-degree ocean water, their hydrogen sulfide-releasing seaweed, flesh-eating bacteria, dead fish, rising sea levels, can't keep the streets dry in Miami. The fun's just beginning. Wait and see. From Reuters.com, a heat wave dries up lake in Serbia, triggers fires in Balkan extreme weather event. There's a few variable headlines here. I don't want to miss them. It's a snapshot of what's happening around the world. So please follow me through with this. I'm just trying to give an idea of how many different layers are unraveling everywhere. From BusinessInsider.com, Nantucket Beach House sells for 90% off, and its new owner predicts it won't survive another year. A Nantucket Beach House, valued at $1.9 million a year ago, sold for $200,000. Pretty big discount, wouldn't you say? They say homeowners on the New England island paradise of Nantucket are caught between the shore and a hard place as erosion swallows the land underneath their dream vacation homes. Just the beginning. Just the beginning. Wait and see. From PHYS.org, Cape Cod scientists want to dump 60,000 gallons of sodium hydroxide into ocean in climate change experiment. This connects a lot of dots. Listen to this report. Environmentalists and fishermen are pushing back against a plan from a group of scientists, use the term loosely, who want to dump more than 60,000 gallons of sodium hydroxide, more commonly known as lye, into the ocean off Cape Cod to gain an understanding, they say, of how to slow climate change. Friends of the Earth senior campaigner Benjamin Day stated, quote, "We think dumping tens of thousands of gallons of sodium hydroxide into the ocean is a bad idea," end quote. Question, is this really rocket scientists, Ben? Ben, have you commented, this is again from Friends of the Earth, have they said anything about the climate engineering raging in our skies? The best they can say is dumping all this lye into the ocean is a bad idea. That's all they can do? How many are naive enough to think that governments around the world aren't doing whatever they want in the oceans, dumping everything from nuclear waste to DDT off the LA coast, which I've been over in this broadcast, 500,000 barrels of it. They do whatever they want. The fact that they announce something like this and the so-called environmental groups jump up and down and pretend they're doing something is meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. All of them worthless. I know of no major environmental group that's telling the truth about anything. They're simply trying to appease their donors and not risk their 501 nonprofit. Worthless. From thecooldown.com, new study warns seabird populations face catastrophic decline due to unexpected factor. More than 20,000 birds were lost in the blink of an eye. As changing climate affects our lives with dramatic weather events and rising temperatures, fragile wildlife is also being impacted in catastrophic ways, a new study has found. Specifically, multiple populations of seabirds are facing grave long-term risks as the overheating of our atmosphere is causing more frequent tropical storms. Is that all there is? What about all the nuclear waste I just mentioned? What about the DDT? What about the dying of plankton? Geoengineering destroying the ozone layer, primary cause, not the only cause. Plankton populations crashing, food chain crashing, and the only thing they can mention is that there's more frequent tropical storms, and that's the core of the problem? Our science community, our so-called science community, is almost worthless. They are so completely off track on so many things. Where would one start? If they were remotely close to having a correct compass heading, would we be in this mess, facing statistical certain planetary omnicide this decade? On the current course, that's a major barometer, the barometer of how completely dysfunctional the so-called science community is. From MSN.com, recent study finds Earth's salt cycle is swinging out of balance, posing yet another existential threat. Detailed studies have shown that mining of any kind, such as for coal, lithium, copper, and various other underground minerals, is drastically increasing the salinity of the planet. Additionally, they found that constant construction around the world also affects the natural salt cycle. As the earth below us is dug up, the soil and groundwater are disturbed, causing soil erosion, flooding, and decreasing the terrestrial biodiversity, all of which affect salination. This is such a complex, miraculous planet, and we have, from every conceivable direction, derailed it. From the UK Guardian, climate crisis is making days longer, study finds. From the report, melting of ice is slowing planet's rotation and could disrupt internet traffic, financial transportation, and GPS. The climate crisis is causing the length of each day to get longer, analysis shows, as the mass melting of polar ice reshapes the planet. The phenomenon is a striking demonstration of how humanity's actions are transforming Earth, scientists said, rivaling natural processes that have existed for billions of years. I'm almost numb when I say that, because it's so hard to conceive of how fast we've completely altered the planet. Again, a couple hundred years, we have wiped it out. And from so many people, I still hear this. Man couldn't possibly affect the weather. Where do they get that from? That's just some sort of trained ideology. We have completely altered the planetary everything. And for those that believe climate engineering is occurring, but then claim there's nothing to do with the climate that's been affected by man. What is climate engineering? That's man-made activity, is it not? Even if we pretended that no other form of human activity had any effect at all, again, burning 26 million tons of coal a day, 100 million barrels of hydrocarbon a day, cutting down the forest, paving the planet, poisoning the oceans, even if we pretended that none of that had any effect on anything except climate engineering, that's still an immediate planetary threat, isn't it? In fact, it's all the above, but I'm simply trying to say, can any rational person not be against the intentional intervention of the planet's life support systems, which is climate engineering, aka weather warfare? How can any rational person not be against that? From CNN, we built our world for a climate that no longer exists. Why doesn't it exist? For all the reasons I just cited. And now we're really in trouble to a degree that very few people are yet willing to face, just like they're not willing to face what's happening in our skies, operations that are even further derailing an already badly damaged life support system to the planet, the climate. From PHYS.org, complex impact of wildfires on ozone layer dynamics unveiled. From this report, in a revelation that highlights the fragile balance of our planet's atmosphere, scientists from China, Germany, and the U.S. have uncovered an unexpected link between massive wildfire events and the chemistry of the ozone layer. The stability of this vital atmospheric layer is now facing a new unexpected challenge. During the 2019-2020 Australian fires, researchers observed a dramatic increase in stratospheric aerosols, tiny particles that can influence climate, health, and atmospheric chemistry. All of this is a part of the problem. And what's missing from this report as well? No mention of the what's calculated to be 40 to 60 million tons of geoengineering dispersed nanoparticles in the atmosphere annually, no mention whatsoever. And again, I cite the blanket aerosol spraying that geoengineeringwatch.org recorded directly over the Paradise Fire smoke canopy. And as that smoke rises, it pushes geoengineering aerosols higher into the atmosphere also. And if you search geoengineering will damage the ozone layer, you can search the ozone damage section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, but you can find mainstream articles that acknowledge if we climate engineered, it would damage the ozone layer. Connect those dots. On that note, another new headline from MSN. The sad future of grocery shopping. From this report, food shortages of all kinds keep hitting the grocery store in recent months. Olive oil, cocoa, and orange juice have been in short supply, sending prices skyrocketing. The problem is largely climate change, aka climate collapse, abrupt climate collapse. Olive oil has more than doubled in cost over the past 2 years because drought and bad weather in the Mediterranean. It's not just drought and bad weather. When the rain does fall, it has toxic elements in it that destroy soil microbiome and root systems. Keep that in mind. And there's the intense UV radiation as well. So many orange trees in Brazil are diseased and weakened, all of the above that I just mentioned, a part of that equation, by heat and drought that producers have considered making juice from other fruit. Higher temperatures have even made it harder to control the spread of bird flu, contributing to the egg crisis. Heat, drought, and flooding and other climate effects are making it harder to grow crops, and importing them from elsewhere isn't always an option, not going to be an option soon. That certain crops are grown in just a few areas in the world has made food especially susceptible to shortages. An ongoing surge in sugar prices in the United States, reflected not just in table sugar but in all sorts of sweets, is being driven by unusually dry conditions in India and Thailand, where much of the global crop is harvested. And in March, a cyclone hit Madagascar, the world's biggest vanilla producer, threatening about half its harvest and thus the price of ice cream. And these aren't isolated events. The report states peanuts, sugar, vanilla, and beef, among other foods, have also been in short supply at points over the past few years. We're entering an age of disruption. The report then states, soon Americans may no longer be able to count on supermarkets that are perpetually stocked with cheap food. The era of grocery abundance is ending, and a more somber one is taking place. That is a very gross understatement. Empty shelves are coming far sooner than almost any dare to imagine. They then say, but perhaps the most devastating toll for Americans may be psychological. The idea of the supermarket was based on, and still is based on, endless abundance. All of that bounty has long reassured Americans that food is plentiful and affordable, shaping our approach to eating, cooking, and shopping. It's the reason you can look up a recipe today and likely have all the ingredients for it tomorrow, regardless of whether it's July or February. But the grocery scenario is transforming. Shoppers once walked in thinking, what do I want? The more salient question may soon be, what can I have? Ponder that one. It's coming. More on the crop-crushing weather from Extreme Temps News. Historic heat wave in South Africa, 36 degrees in winter. Heat wave, South Africa, Southern Hemisphere, winter now. Temperature rises to 36.3°C. That's almost 100 degrees in the highlands in this exceptional winter heat wave. A few days after breaking cold records, and the heat will now go on for a whole week. About those cold records, even with the record-shattering crop-crushing heat around the world, consider this next headline. Again, in between heat waves in Africa, severe cold snap devastates South African crops. It's another example of chemical ice nucleation, cloud seeding operations. And what do we see happening around the U.S.? Radical weather temperature whiplash swings becoming ever more extreme. Flash freezes, flash droughts, flash flooding. The roller coaster of climate cataclysm gets worse by the day. Question, can covert climate engineering operations be separated from any of it? How could it be? All is connected. All is interwoven. Let's keep going with more bad news headlines. And isn't it profound that many would say, no, it's too much bad news, can't take it. And the same people will gladly sit through hours of meaningless political drama, theater, events with the talking heads that never address anything that truly matters, and they're dangling at the end of the strings of those who pay them, those who fund, those who print the money. That's the top of the they pyramid. Those who print the money, they run militaries, thus they run countries, they run entire governments. That's where the power is. A year's worth of rain in one day. Massive floods hit central China. Again, drought deluge scenarios, hallmark of climate intervention operations. From the China Morning Post, China braces for worst case scenario as deadly floods make their way north, crushing crops along the way. Also from the Watchers.News, powerful storm and flooding in eastern Afghanistan claim over 40 lives, destroy 40 homes, crops with it. From AmericanScientists.org. And consider this, this is part of the crop-crushing scenario. Sunshine on a cloudy day. They say clouds sometimes increase rather than reduce levels of ultraviolet radiation. That's interesting, isn't it? Because a recently deceased former NASA contract engineer, Ray, announced his passing last week in this broadcast. We had monitored that many of the aerosol clouds created a lens effect that made the UV radiation levels on the surface even higher. Why would geoengineering operations do that? Why would they want to do that? Certainly they know it's doing that. Why would they continue to do that? Now some acknowledgement from AmericanScientists.org, but much more acknowledgement needed. And about that intense UV radiation, it radically accelerates evaporation along with the altering of atmospheric relative humidity, again, the desiccant particles I mentioned earlier, sucking the moisture out of everything from the flora in the forest and from bodies of water. On that note, from MSN.com, this, billions of gallons of water from Lake Shasta in my backyard disappearing into thin air. That's the headline. They say in early July, 288.8 million gallons of water evaporated off Lake Shasta. That was in one day. And during the first 9 days of July, 3,392 cubic feet per second of water, or about 2.2 billion gallons, turned into vapor and floated away into the atmosphere. I certainly see this firsthand here. the evaporation lake on the ponds that I've built to sustain what wildlife is left and still hanging on is evaporating radically fast and superheating radically fast. Official agencies like the U.S. Drought Monitor are not acknowledging this. When they still don't show any significant drought over parts of Northern California, that's a blatant, glaring lie. All of it's lies. From the underreporting of temperatures to the underreporting of UV radiation to the underreporting of the dryout of fuel moistures in the forest, all of it designed to pacify populations till the moment of impact, and it's working all too well. From Earth.com, lakes are warming toward the point of no return. The conditions that sustained rich biodiversity and important ecological services of lakes could be history soon. Almost is now in so many locations. Let's add this. A recent report from the UK Guardian. California lakes so green with algae it's visible from space. Keep in mind, this is just one example of countless examples around the globe. Clear Lake, which stretches over 68 square miles in Northern California, is a major hub for fishing, water sports, and other recreation. It has been dubbed the bass capital of the West. The lake is roughly 100 miles north of San Francisco. Public health officials in the area have warned visitors to be aware of the algae blooms, including keeping pets away and steering clear of water. What a joy. Summer, not even half over, and formerly pristine lakes in Northern California, again, this is just one example of countless around the globe, are now so superheated and deoxygenated and contaminated that they're described as having, quote, discolored scum layers and foul odors. And what about the forests that surround many of these lakes? From the Cary Institute of Ecosystem Studies, forest carbon storage has declined across much of the western U.S., likely, they say, due to drought and fire. What else would be the core causal factors? Did it take a team of scientists to determine that? They say forests have been embraced as a natural climate solution due to their ability to soak up carbon dioxide from the atmosphere as they grow, locking it up in their trunks, branches, leaves, and roots. But a new study confirms widespread doubts about the potential for most forests in the western U.S. to help curb climate change. The authors warn that many western forests could see a rapid acceleration of carbon loss in the coming years or decades. They say these challenges have the potential to compromise carbon storage capacity and undermine our ability to mitigate climate change. This is now. It's been now. GeoengineeringWatch.org has been disclosing this for 15 years. Our forests are no longer carbon sinks, they're carbon sources. The most recent study on the Douglas fir tree, the predominant tree in Western Forest, was titled Firmageddon. Been over that in this broadcast again and again. Go to the Into the Wild section on GeoengineeringWatch.org and you can see firsthand my trekking in the forest and showing on film the radical die-off of forests around Lake Shasta. It's shocking. It breaks my heart. Forests untouched, never logged in some of the remote areas around me. It's very rugged country that was a closed canopy 20 years ago, still alive and thriving, is now completely wiped out. Open canopy, everything on the ground now frying because the trees are all dead and falling down. I can hardly trek into the forest now without cutting everything out of my way because it's a tangled mess of dead, falling, decaying trees. And everybody's pretending everything's going to be okay. That is the predominant fir tree in the forest. It's happening around the world. Forests are dying everywhere. Amazon, the Amazon forest, now a carbon source instead of a carbon sink. And these so-called scientists pretend that someday it could, may, might get bad. It's kicking in the front door now. Hang on, because we are in for a ride. You're listening to the weekly installment of Global Alert News, the Bad News Broadcast, installment number 467, July 20th, 2024. This is Dane Wigington, your host. Global Alert News is brought to you by GeoengineeringWatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world in the subject of climate intervention operations known as geoengineering. Recordings of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour broadcast can be found on the homepage of GeoengineeringWatch.org under the recent column and on the Dane Wigington YouTube channel. Geoengineering Watch wishes to express our deepest gratitude to those that have helped us to expand our reach and thus our voice in this desperate last hour effort to sound the alarm. And we are rapidly running out of time. If you're on our email list, please put us on your email contact book so that our mailouts don't go to the spam files. Please help us to share the groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, which fully exposes the climate engineering atrocities. And now again, with almost 20 million views on YouTube. In spite of the censorship, the best way to share is by circulating the direct link to The Dimming by email directly from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Again, sharing directly helps us to overcome social media censorship. When viewing our YouTube of the Dimming or Global Alert News or any other Geoengineering Watch video on YouTube, please subscribe, share, and comment. And all of this helps us to circulate our critically important data to a much wider audience. Again, about reaching those that still aren't looking up, here's one way. Start a conversation with Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials, which can be found on our homepage. Our only goal to provide activists what they need to move this fight forward. Extremely high-quality printed materials with shocking images, and we pass these on, again, for less than our total cost of producing and shipping. This is a mission to try to pave a way for someone to survive what's coming. And I and my family sometimes are up till 1 or 2 in the morning trying to keep up with shipping these materials out to those who need them and are putting them to use, and I'm very grateful for those people, all of them. Very grateful. It's our collective efforts that can yet make a difference, but we pass these printed materials on for less than our cost of producing and shipping. We also have Geoengineering Watch hoodies and shirts. Those can strike up a conversation when worn in public areas very effectively. Photos of both are on our homepage. We have scannable business cards. Nobody refuses those. They're very high quality with the scan codes on them. You can go right to the Dimming, right to our homepage. Bumper stickers. All effective tools to help strike up a conversation on the climate engineering issue. Again, reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward in this fight. We can stop it from the inside out if those participating, aka our military brothers and sisters, realize and their families realize what they're participating in. Not some planet-saving, benevolent endeavor. It couldn't be further from the truth. They're being lied to. Compartmentalization. We need to wake them up or we have no chance. If we can expose it fully, again, we have a chance of stopping it. If you're willing to share a picture of yourself with Geoengineering Watch shirts or hoodies, ideally some crowded location, please send us your photo so that we can post it as part of our activist compilation, which is now part of our materials page. The images encourage others to make their voices heard in this all-important battle to sound the alarm. Harding in your deck on the Titanic will not save anybody. We have to make our voices heard now, or we won't have tomorrow. Lastly, this, to all those that are steadfastly committed to this must-win fight for all that matters, I want to express my deepest and most profound gratitude. It is our collective efforts that can still make a difference at this late hour. It will take all of us. Moving on, the climate engineers are desperately trying to mask the meltdown of the polar regions, even if they have to wipe out the rest of the world to do it. Here's an example, the ionosphere heater induced kind of example. And for those, again, that don't know what an ionosphere heater installation is or what it can do, please do an honest and objective investigation from credible sources, not the official narrative kind that will only tell you nothing to see here. Move along. Independent sources. Back to the new report. From severeweather.eu, a rare stratospheric warming event has begun over the South Pole with unusually strong anomalies now developing. They say the Southern Hemisphere is currently in its winter season and dynamic weather patterns will initiate a strong warming event in the stratosphere above the South Pole. These events are rare in the Southern Hemisphere but powerful and are known to have an effect on the entire globe. Yeah, when you tinker with the weather on this scale, the whole world gets disrupted and they're interfering everywhere, all the time, every day. On that note, more wildfires in the far north. From Earth.com, a reminder of this report from earlier this year, wildfires in Siberia are a growing global threat. As mentioned in last week's broadcast post from EIN Presswire, wildfire smoke far more dangerous than previously thought, potentially 10 times more toxic than traffic smoke. From Euronews.com, Arctic wildfires tear through Russia's far north, releasing megatons of carbon, and yes, that is a problem. I'll get to that in a moment. But recently, there's been online circulation stating that there's more ice than ever in the polar regions. Really? On what planet? Because it isn't this one. From SciTech Daily, new study uncovers key error in climate models. Earth's albedo overstated means the reflectivity, the cryosphere is disintegrating, and those ice deposits are not reflecting the way they have been. And the cloud albedo effect also is not what it was estimated as being. What a surprise that putting toxic elements into the sky in the attempt to manipulate the planet's weather is not helping the Earth's albedo, its reflectivity, which makes up our energy balance, by the way. Again, we're back to the equation of more heat getting in than is getting out. That's the 7 Hiroshima bomb heat equation per second thermal energy and 7 Hiroshima bombs per second is building up on our planet. Most of it has gone to the oceans. They're superheating now, deoxygenating and dying. Connect all of these dots, please. So, for the record, right now, Arctic sea ice extent, the surface area, is at record low right now. The mass, or the volume, which is all that really matters, has been at record low. How could the extent not have been at record low? Because the official monitoring agencies that are tasked with masking the true severity of what's unfolding from the public until the last possible moment have classified Arctic sea ice as any part of the Arctic Ocean with 15% slush on it or more. So as the ice blows apart and slush scatters over a wider section of ocean, they actually call that a bigger ice pack. Pretty easy to hide statistically what's happening when you do that, isn't it? Blatant, glaring lie. Like all the statistics, everything a lie, designed, again, to pacify populations until the moment of impact. Next headline from phys.org, polar warming may be underestimated by the climate models. Everything way worse than we've been told, and that's manifesting at a far faster rate than almost anybody understands. From phys.org, also, sea ice's cooling power is waning faster than its area of extent, new study finds. They say remaining ice is growing less reflective as warming temperatures and increased rainfall create thinner, wetter ice and more melt ponds that reflect less solar radiation. And they talk about climate change adaptation plans. You can't adapt to a dead planet, and that is the road we're on. About our seas from Yale 360. This was published at the Yale School of the Environment. Weaker ocean circulation could worsen warming, study finds. Everything leading the same direction. As warming weakens ocean circulation, the seas could increasingly become a source of heat-trapping gas, new study finds. Ocean currents cycle carbon from the surface into the deep ocean, but they also bring carbon up from those depths. Scientists have long assumed... Are scientists supposed to assume in this way? I think not. That slower circulation would diminish both the amount of carbon drawn down from the atmosphere and the amount dredged up from the deep waters. In this scenario, the ocean would continue to be an overall carbon sink, just like they completely missed the mark on our forests. Now, carbon sources, not sinks. But the new modeling study finds that slowing currents disrupt the upwelling of nutrients from the deep to the surface, starving the phytoplankton that absorb carbon. The decline of phytoplankton is self-reinforcing as the tiny creatures also convert iron in the ocean into a form that other phytoplankton can consume. The diminution of iron would cause phytoplankton to further decline, meaning that they would take up less carbon either from the atmosphere or from the deep. The findings were published in Nature Communications. The result is that not only would the ocean absorb less carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, it would also unleash more carbon dioxide from its depths, leading to further warming. Think about that. And about the plankton also. They're being fried from above because of the now decimated ozone layer releasing extreme UV radiation. The walls are closing in from every imaginable direction, about 50 feedback loops already triggered. And how many even now are pretending there's nothing wrong with the planet? That it's all some big hoax? Too many that claim to be truth-telling activists share, post, and thus propagate anything and everything that comes along from anyone that has anything whatsoever to say about what's happening in our skies without vetting any of the information in question or the source putting it out. And the only way to move this fight forward, this fight against climate engineering operations, is to share credible data from a credible source. Some of the completely incorrect narratives, here's one. State and local publicized weather modification programs are climate engineering. No, they're not. Very different. State and local publicized weather modification programs are single engine, generally, propeller-driven airplanes with a few flares on the wings that might disperse maybe 5 or 10 kilos of material at most. That is very, very different from a military tanker like a KC-135 that can disperse 100 tons in one payload, and then we add the frequency transmission that's manipulating these atmospheric particles because they're electrically conductive. The localized state and weather modification programs are simply used as a distraction, so that people think that what's happening in our skies is more benign than unbelievably malevolent. Here's another. The rapid evaporation cooling towers that many claim are the source of the convective clouds that blow up on the radar. This is so patently false. I worked on cooling towers for Bechtel Power. They were served with a 4-inch pipe. You can't make a massive thunder shower with a 4-inch pipe worth of water. It's so patently absurd, and people see a radar and a convective cloud blow up because of atmospheric conditions that are being manipulated by climate engineering, but it is not a cooling tower unless there's invisible cooling towers all over the desert where these storms pop up, which there obviously isn't. It's important to investigate, not to watch some YouTube channel that has some sensationalized claim that might look interesting if you didn't investigate anything and thus didn't have any idea what you were looking at. Another one, this mantra, again, very important. The more CO2, the better, that we hear all the time from so many people. What about the oceans acidifying radically, so much so that they're probably already dumping lime in many locations? They're certainly using ocean fertilization techniques as part of SRM over the oceans, forcing the oceans to take up more CO2, killing them even faster. Here's a comment submission example that was submitted to geoengineeringwatch.org recently. Quote, isn't CO2 the gas of life? Question mark. We would be dead without it, right? Question mark. I hear you say, referring to me, about too much and your example. However, the levels today aren't even close to what they have been before humans. Have we contributed to increased levels in a short span of time? Question mark. Yes and yes, they've been higher in the past, and changes that occurred over great spans of time with very different conditions on Earth, without a destroyed ozone layer, without a completely contaminated planet, and over such long spans of time that species had time to adapt, which they do not now. When this happens in the geologic blink of an eye, and about the question of have we contributed to increased levels in a short span of time, how can people not know that? Again, we're burning 100 million barrels of carbon fuel a day, burning 26 million tons of coal a day. We have so contaminated the forest floor and root systems and frying it with UV, cutting off precipitation altogether, and the precipitation that does fall is toxic, so our forests have become carbon sources as well instead of carbon sinks. Of course, obviously, we have contributed radically to this buildup of CO2 in the atmosphere, which has triggered other gases, methane, nitrous oxide, and about the methane release. I'm not talking about cow flatulence. I'm talking about thawing and releasing methane deposits from the Arctic tundra and seafloor. Please search Siberian methane craters. You'll be shocked at the images. Investigation is necessary. It's absolutely essential before you spread any information if we're to move this fight forward. And I hope this commenter actually does investigate. Just because an element, again, like CO2 is necessary for life, completely altering atmospheric chemistry in the geologic blink of an eye with climate engineering on top of all that, and an additional part of the chemistry alteration in all the wrong directions, is a recipe for planetary omnicide. Again, I use the water example. Water is the most essential element for life. How long can anyone last if they put their head below the waterline? A minute? Two, perhaps? I've been free diving my entire life around the world, and I have only ever managed just over 3 minutes and a breath during a dive. And too much water, can't breathe. Not good. More isn't better. How would our crops do if they were kept a foot underwater? That answer's clear, isn't it? And why does this particular point matter? Because when so many adamantly deny that there's any damage or consequence from the drilling, pumping, and incinerating of over 100 million barrels of oil every day, 26 million tons of coal every day, torching the forest, paving the planet, poisoning the seas, to deny that the human race has been horrific caretakers of creation is ludicrous, and doing so completely alienates more than half of the population, who then won't listen to a word about the climate engineering danger from any who deny all that I just described. Learn to build bridges. We must all learn to build bridges. Don't burn them. Remember that there can be absolutely no legitimate discussion of climate anything from any perspective without first and foremost acknowledging and addressing the climate engineering weather warfare factor. Here's one point I forgot as well. I was just on a radio broadcast and this was brought up, that one volcano releases more CO2 than all human activity. That is so ridiculously false. In fact, here is the statistics. CO2 outgassed to the atmosphere and oceans today from volcanoes, all of them, along with magmatically active regions around the world, is estimated at 280 to 360 million tons. per year. And that's including the release into the oceans from mid-ocean ridges. Humanity's annual carbon emissions through the burning of carbon fuels and forests is up to 100 times greater than all of that. And again, what does all of humanity's incineration of carbon fuels do to our rapidly dying seas? As already mentioned in this broadcast from theconversation.com, as ocean surfaces acidify, a deep sea acidic zone is expanding, marine habitats are being squeezed. They're not just being squeezed, they're being wiped out. 500 dead zones in the oceans around the world, expanding rapidly. Oceans are acidifying, stratifying, deoxygenating. We can't live without our oceans, period. But even if the oceans die, the fish die, the forests die, the animals die, the insects die, and the planet's life support systems collapse, the stock market is at record highs, right? That's all that really matters. The card house of the stock markets is and always has been a Ponzi scheme, and yes, it's profited so many over such a long time, but the price must be paid in the end, and the bill is about to come due to a degree that few are willing to even begin to imagine. Here's a quote from Henry David Thoreau, and he's one of my favorite authors. His words ring in my mind. How does it become a man to behave towards the American government today? I answer that he cannot without disgrace be associated with it. How many could rationally argue that timeless bit of wisdom? And that applies to both orchestrated political parties. They are two sides of the same coin. And when will more realize that? Some final notes on the circus of self-annihilation. How many even now are going about their lives as if their lives are going to continue as they are into the foreseeable future? It's not going to happen. The sooner more individuals fully face that fact, the better our chances of altering our current course and salvaging some part of Earth's remaining life support systems. Numerous times on this broadcast, I've compared the human race, taken as a whole, to the occupants of the Thelma and Louise car that's crashed through the guardrail and is sailing through the air to the bottom of the canyon. And at some point in such a ride to mathematically certain extremely near-term self-annihilation, it would seem rational to assume that at least some significant percentage of the doomed passengers in the car would wake up, would look around, would help to sound the alarm and brace for impact, but it isn't happening. In fact, the closer the moment of reckoning gets, many are choosing to actually double down on their eyes wide shut denial. Earth's formerly thriving web of life is dying. Everywhere you look, the former energy balance of the planet has been completely obliterated. Much more heat gets in than is getting out. Climate engineering and countless other forms of industrial everything are completely contaminating the entire biosphere, above and below the seas. And that's not an opinion. It's a shockingly obvious fact to anyone that's looking at the world through an even slightly clear lens. And as the resources run out, conflict and chaos will commence. From the clouds to the ground, the insanity has fully been let loose. I was 14 years old when I first read the following, a nearly 2,000-year-old nugget of wisdom from the Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius. He said this, "The object of life is not to be in the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. Nothing has changed." What will each of us decide to do in the time we've been given? Perhaps this is a start. Never, ever underestimate the difference you can make, of the awakening you can trigger, if you simply make it your mission to do so. All of us are spokes in the wheel, all of us needed to make it roll forward. Start a spot fire of awakening in your circles with credible data from a credible source. Stoke that fire and ask others to do the same as they begin to wake up. If by our collective efforts we can reach a critical mass of awakening in time, we could yet alter the equation. We could yet take a quantum leap in the right direction. Please examine the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific instructions on how you can help to move this fight forward. Make your voice heard. Make every day count. Time is not on our side. Until next week, stay strong. Forge forward in this fight. Never yield, ever. This is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.